It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is A. Rowan, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is Mortis Corpus, also known as Besh or Angel, part of the Realms of Trinity staff.
This is Oberu. Usually play Old Man Jenkins, part of the staff here at Realms of Trinity.
And this is Lincoln Robinson, a.k.a. All Up In You, and I'm the author of Fanglewood.
And this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And you're listening to the 173rd episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the upcoming MMO from Cryptic, Neverwinter. Well, it's been a little while since we had an intercast, if you will. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus because we've been having some problems getting some guests on the show and getting on there. But that problem has quickly vanished. This episode that we're recording now is we're going to be talking about a lot of the stuff that we got going on at the Realms of Trinity. And we have a couple episodes in the works right now with a few other folks. So they're going to be recorded in subsequent weeks. So our little dry spell has come to an end. So we'll be recording podcasts very regularly. When these podcasts are completed, we are going to go back to the bi-weekly recording schedule. And whether or not we actually have guests lined up, we're actually going to have episodes regardless. Let's talk about all kind of various stuff, news, a lot of the Neverwinter news that's out for the MMO that's coming out soon, and all the above. So stay tuned. We're definitely want to keep churning out the podcasts. And later on this summer, we're going to be going that back out to Origins Game Fair and quite possibly Gen Con Game Fair again. So also keep an eye out for our live appearances at those events. So, you know, getting into a little bit of news, you know, Ben and myself have been, you know, tinkering around with the new Neverwinter, trying to get on now and again in between the beta weekend tests, and not a whole lot on that front as far as news is concerned, except for that the alpha Neverwinter is now, final day is today, April 18th, and after that it's going to be strictly beta. So that's one big positive note in that camp, in that little project there. So if you've been beta testing that, you know it's been coming along really well, and the products, you know, I can't see being all that far along away from being released, but I have no internal information to tell me otherwise. So anything else, Ben, about that, about the beta test?
No, the one thing I would say is if you've seen early screenshots and haven't looked since, you're definitely missing out. It's definitely been getting a good deal of work put into it to make things look nicer, look more detailed. I know they've even done a few foundry contests to sort of show up what they have. And it's definitely looking really good. It's looking very organized. And I think they are actually listening to a lot of player feedback on this. So it's definitely looking like something that's going to be a bit more positive than some people may have thought in the beginning.
Yeah, they're definitely committed in getting a good product out. I know they're extremely busy. I know we've been trying to get on the CEO and the project producer, you know, the executive producer for the project on the show, and you know, we're having some scheduling difficulties there with that. I've been working with Perfect World's PR director, and she's been really helping us out. She's the one that gave us beta keys a couple weeks ago that we posted on the podcast, you know, up for grabs, and for all this, actually requested them and got them. Thanks, you know, for checking it out, and they really appreciate the feedback, playtime, so it's just going to help to build a better product in the end. But other than that, I really don't have too much else, other news on that, as well as Vault stuff. I mean, there's a couple things. I know I've been talking with the guys from Tales of Am, Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World. It's newer, just been out for several months now. We interviewed them in episode 172. They're chugging along, and they're open beta, fairly busy. Got a lot of positive feedback, so, you know, definitely check them out. They've definitely put a lot of work into the Persistent World, and, you know, they're really committed to putting out a quality product, and from learnings that they've had from playing other Persistent Worlds and stuff like that. And the guys are very open in the community. Anytime you need a hand or something, you know, they're more than helpful to help other people in the community too. So they're big-time community players and firmly support them. They also got a Facebook page that just came out for Tales of Am, so definitely want to check that out on Facebook. You know, get hit them up on a like or something. Just let them know you're out there paying attention. Other than that, as far as Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 goes, that's about the only news that I have, other than saying that we got some good interviews coming up in the next couple episodes as well. Any other news there, Ben, before we get on?
Nothing I can think of. I mean, for the most part, as you said, there's some changes coming for both us and Neverwinter's coming out in beta soon, so...
Oh, yeah, actually, you know, it just kind of reminded me of something. GOG.com has been selling Neverwinter Nights 2 again. I don't know. I can't remember if we covered this in our last episode or not, but they're going to be... They've been selling it on there at a discount. It was, I think, $19.99 for the whole thing. And they had some promotion that they were running if you bought, like, all these different Dungeons & Dragons computer games. Like, every one you bought, you got more off the next one. So, it was pretty cool. I know they're still selling it out there, and it's really pumping a lot of life into the community. Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. So, you know, it's one good thing. Yep. So, with that, yep, we will close out with the yip-yips and get into the interview about, with the Realms of Trinity updates and much more. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a lot about the Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World Realms of Trinity, which is our persistent world. It's been a while since we gave a podcast update, and you know, being the fact that we've had a dry spell of actual interviewees, so we figured it's a good opportunity to go over with the Supreme Staff here at Realms of Trinity, and our awesome contributor, Lincoln Robinson, joined us for this discussion, and we're going to be going over a lot of different stuff, all Realms of Trinity related, all the way from the story content that we've added, new side quests that are coming up, server features, and a bunch of player initiatives that Mortis Corpus and others are in Oberu are actually working on to really enhance the game playability for all different classes that haven't really seen a lot of love or updates or upgrades from either Cadran or ourselves, for that matter, over the last couple of years. And we're trying to really encourage player diversity in the realms, and you know, we have a ton of players, and we want to make sure that they're able to, you know, build kind of whatever they want to build. So we're gonna be talking about all that kind of stuff, and Ben's gonna be talking about RP events and different initiatives that we're gonna be working on too up in the upcoming months. So there's a lot of stuff that we got in the works here. I think the first thing to start off with is our new story content. A lot of, like, originally we had planned on finishing up our campaign, Realms of Trinity 2, with our Chapter 7 release that we did about a year ago. But due to popular demand and the fact that there really was more of the story that we wanted to develop, we decided to develop a campaign prologue, which is a 4-chapter prologue, chapters 8 to 11. Really get into heavily into the origins of Trinity's power and a lot of the different things that a lot of players over the years have kind of scratched their head at, because we don't really get into it a whole lot. We kind of just let people fill the blanks in, you know. So we rolled out chapters 8, 9, and 10, and we're going to be rolling out 11 within probably about 2 to 3 weeks. And, you know, I think Mort can attest to that it's been getting a ton of play and a lot of positive feedback.
Oh, yeah. We actually started some logging. So, yes, it's definitely been getting some play.
Yes. And, you know, what's been the impressions that you've seen from the players? You know, I don't get to see a lot of the player reactions, a lot of them what they post on the forum, but in game, what kind of stuff have you been picking up on running as a DM?
The biggest impression that I'm getting is it's pretty much the pinnacle place for people that really want to impress the ER environment. A lot of players, I'd say 3/4 or more, choose to play it traditionally. They don't run it with any certain mode or aspect going. They're just playing it to play with their friends, because it's a reasonably competitive place without an extreme mode. And the drops are good there, really good stuff drops there. The experience is nice. And the risk versus reward for death is very real. Yeah, you can die there. You can certainly die in a hurry. Yeah. It's been really interesting. I've gone through, I went through this morning with a group on 29210. You know, we've been firing a lot of people at it, a lot of different aspects at it. We've got some new players from the ground up who have come through the game in the last month and a half who have hit it. Had one guy today. We had a greater elder worms coming up out of the ground and absolutely murder him. His response was, wow. That was it, just one word, wow. And then we told him that he should stay away from the worms, and he did. The rest of the run. It was entertaining. I would say without a doubt, without any reserve, it's the pinnacle of difficulty from any Neverwinter Nights environment I've ever played in. And I've played in a lot of them. I've played every world online that I can think of. I've played Tales of M. I've played Baldur's Gate. I've played any and every world with a population set just to see what they bring to the table. And it's legit. 2.9 and 2.10 are legit.
Yep. They are massive runs, and they're very in-depth. I mean, environmentally, optically, you know, the aesthetics, everything. It's intense. You know, I can say for sure, and for people listening that haven't played Realms of Trinity at all, we do have a full details to our campaigns and our storylines and previous interviews, too, where we discussed in-depth the actual story and everything. But I will say this, you know, we're really pushing the campaign extension revolves around in Cormyr and Am, and a lot of that had to do with DM Silver Adept Eroan here and really getting involvement into a region that we really wanted to push into just for the simple fact that we were already so close to it and there was a lot of involvement in the story with Cormyr and Suzel. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, we actually built that into the campaign prologue. So to even expand that even further, getting into the next topic, which is the Cormyrian Expanse, which is a whole separate, basically a persistent world that runs on at the same time as Realms of Trinity does. I mean, it's not two different servers. You all run it together. All players play together. But it's totally segregated out as far as what you can't hand off items, gold, whatever. It's a low magic campaign instead of a high, mid to high magic campaign where ROT2 ends up finishing out at just because of sheer amount of content. You know, you can't just stay low level all the way through. I mean, we have it so that you actually can mature your character over years, you know, all the way up to a very high level. And plus all the stuff that we're going to be talking about shortly here that we've added custom. But the Cormyrian Expanse also revolves around Cormyr strictly. I mean, you're based in Cormyr, you respond to Cormyr, and not only that, the story is actually running parallel to part of ROT2 campaign, which is pretty awesome. I mean, you're actually playing in a time period that other players are playing in and are indirectly involved in. So your works there are directly directly involving the works that happened in Realms of Trinity 2. So there's a lot of crossover as far as the story is concerned, and you know you in between chapters 7 and 8 of ROT2, that timeline in between there is the whole. We've actually detailed it so much that that's the entire first and second campaign second volume of the Cormyrian Expanse. So it really encompasses a lot of stuff. A lot of political intrigue. There's a lot of I don't know, it's very gritty, you know, a lot of story, tons of story, slower progression. If you there's a lot of players who like the low magic environment, the slower progression. It's really good for RP, tons of aesthetics, tons of areas, a lot of fun. And especially if you want to get a groove for events and, you know, RP stuff, it's definitely a very centric to RP. So I definitely think that, you know, it's really been a success from what I'm seeing as we track the runs and what people are playing and everything, the statistics. Cormyr Expanse gets a lot of traffic, and, you know, we're looking to improve even higher on that because we already have a lot of content there. We are looking to run a lot of events in that area for RP events and whatnot, and that's something we're going to talk a little bit later in the episode about. But if you haven't seen the trailers for it and want to get the story low down on it, you know, definitely check out our website. We have pages dedicated to the campaigns right off our homepage. Around, click the scrollable banner there. It's can't miss it. And you can get the full layout and details of the campaigns right there. And there's even YouTube videos for each of the campaigns that you can actually watch a couple-minute trailer for that actually shows you visually and this sets you up for the story. So is there anything else about that there, Ben, you want to throw in, or Michael, or Obru?
Personally, my favorite area actually is Cormyr.
No, I think it's covered it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Only thing I want to add to that is finally getting a bit back in more often. So, especially on the Cormyr side, there's going to be more events. The one thing I do want to say is just because past experience shows they work better, the events will be connected. So if you are through all of them, there'll be bits and pieces you can pick up, but it's not going to be the sweeping arcs anymore. There will be repetitive bad guys, repetitive activities, but it's not going to be here's this big sweeping arc that you need to play every day at a certain time for months. So just want to let people know that.
Yep, that sounds like a good idea too, just for accessibility. You know, definitely it helps. It'll help the continuity of the events. So that's pretty much it with that. We have some new side quest content coming up, and I'm going to hand it over to Lincoln here. He's already kicked out Temple of the Snake, which is an awesome side quest that we worked into our campaign and that model we discussed about 6 months ago or so, Lincoln?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've brought it to fruition with all your hard work and us working together. It's been awesome. So I'll turn it over to you to talk about the next and up and coming side quest.
Okay, the next one is called the Haunted Moat House. And when you walk in, you might notice that it might look a little familiar if you're used to, if you ever played that module T1 tabletop, T1 Village of Homelet. It's all actually right. Modeled right after that. Because I found some content in the tool set and I just couldn't resist. I had to do it. the Moat House and stuff, that's an exact duplicate of the Moat House that was in the original module, the original... I always have a mental block when I do this. AD&D second edition module. So anyways, it's all based on that. And I don't know, there's a whole lot to tell about it. I don't want to give too much of away because the storyline has a lot of surprises in it, especially towards the end. I kind of like the way the end turns out.
Yeah, and for those who do play Realms of Trinity, and if you don't, we enjoy having you on. But for those who don't, all of Lincoln's content that we're integrating is all started and turned in a great interior that Lincoln has put out called Belvedere's Books and Tomes. It's accessible for both campaigns, whether you're playing on the Realms of Trinity side or you're playing on the Cormyrian Expanse side. It's totally linked to both of them. It's exact same content for both campaigns, you know, so definitely everything starts nice, clean package way of doing it. And it's just outstanding. Everything that Lincoln's done is top-notch production, and you know it's been received extremely well by our player base, old and new, and definitely you know these are some really cool side quests, and they really bring a lot of flavor to the side quest series that we offer. You know, we have an extensive amount of side quests already, but these are serious business side quests. So
yeah, they're kind of like mini modules themselves. This one right here, I'm predicting it's about 3 hours worth of gameplay from beginning to end.
That's badass, man. I mean, that is.
For a side quest, it's usually pretty long, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how long all your side quests are and stuff, but I thought it was pretty long. My Temple of the Snake, I think, is only about an hour.
Yeah, 3 hours is about what we would consider a chapter level. Well, except for we have a couple that are about that long, but yeah, that one, it's definitely not the average. We try to develop stuff for about 1 to 3 hours, depending on whatever, you know, obviously it depends on your level and how adept you are to playing the game. But, you know, it's definitely awesome, though, that you put a 3 hour side quest in. I think it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, and it's for levels 8 to 10th, too. I made this one a little higher than Temple of the Snake. I noticed most of your players are a little higher than, are usually like 10th level and above, at least a lot of the players that I ran into.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on the campaign. You know, if you're Realms of Trinity campaign, you're going to be higher. If you're on Cormyrian Expanse, that totally depends on how much time you want to sink into playing. But I would say the average level on Cormyrian Expanse is probably between 9 and 11, so that's probably good. I mean, that's actually very good. So I think that's definitely the way to go, and we're going to keep rolling out more of these as we go forward. And you know, that's part of the reason why we're having the discussion with all the stuff that's coming. And actually, the next topic is the Epic Challenge side quest. This is just for the Realms of Trinity side. And this is something Mortis and myself have been talking about for a while. And, you know, Mort, if you want to give your thoughts upon that.
Okay, so the basic concept was simply to use this new instancing system to, as you put it, rerun old areas with a new flavor. I believe that's how you said it exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And we wanted to make things for players, you know, we could do it at a really difficulty level, and we could do it on whim, and we could leave them in long term, or we could get rid of them and completely change them out. The point is to introduce new quests, new dialogues, new things to get, maybe for a limited time, maybe on a repeating, recycling basis, to provide players with always, you know, something new, something fresh, something they've never done before. And honestly, from the discussions Brian and I have had, these epic quests, as we called them, would be brutally difficult.
Yes, yeah, the word brutal is probably the opportune word.
We've been discussing some spoilers, some just odd, off-the-wall type stuff. That pit in the middle of Blood Sands where a dragon used to live, you know, maybe some beholder tunnels, you know, just some stupid, stupid hard stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the sky's the limit with the incensing system, and that's something, you know, we'll talk about now just because it's the next topic actually in our discussion. But what basically, if the people who play MMOs would be most familiar with this, is where, you know, runs are dished out for groups of players, and you're always guaranteed a fresh run every time you go through. You don't have to wait for respawns or half stuff's missing or this, that, or the other. You know, your entire run is dynamically linked together from front to back. It's served up to you instanced so that you and your group, your party, are the only ones that could be in there at that time. It locks the areas out, and, you know, you're free to go through it at your own, well, at a certain leisurely pace. We do have time restrictions because of the lockout, but they're very generous in most cases. I mean, you know, you're not going to ever feel like you're running out of time unless you're lagging behind or you're kind of farting around. You know, it's the only way that you would really be lagging for time. But the whole idea is that it gives us the ability, for obvious reasons, you know, resource management. I mean, so the areas themselves have to be the only resource while it's not being ran for the server, but also it gives you a fresh, you know, perspective, a fresh run every time you run. And on top of that, it also allows us to reuse areas so that not only, you know, so a lot of times in the past, people would copy and paste areas and change them around and put different, you know, triggers for spawners or whatever their particular system was, and, you know, set up different conversations, different NPCs, whatever. You still have to do that, but it's all done through scripting, and it's all done dynamically so that, you know, you can set up entire runs and you can, like, go further in the story. Oh, I come back and, oh, okay, I took care of this, but now you're going to have to take care of that. Or maybe there's nothing bad there at all. Maybe it's just, okay, now all townspeople move back in because you took care of the threat. So you're able to actually show a real-time progression with the same set of areas instead of having to copy and paste and all that. It's a non-maintainable system, basically. So this actually allows us to more than double our content that we already have. We have about 415 areas now, and what, the 22 chapters plus, you know, about 13 to 15 side quests, not counting Lincoln's two side quests. So, you know, we already have a ton of content, so we can at minimum double that just using the area instancing system. So,
hey, Brian, can I ask one more thing about the Haunted Moat House? When I designed it, I made this one so that it's replayable, too. It has it's a lot more random and stuff than my first quest was.
Okay.
The players should be able to go through it two or three times before they finally get, you know, burned out on it.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, yeah. Plus, too, you know, what we're talking about, the area instancing system, which is nice, because even like the Temple of the Snake,
mm-hmm.
the way I converted it to instancing, we could actually add another run to those same areas and do something entirely different, you know, as long as the progression of the area stays the same. So that's
right.
So we can revisit the exact same run with like a different scenario, you know. Oh, I heard about this other thing that happened after the fact. You know, you took care of the issues that you found whatever you needed to find. So I'm just trying not to give information away on spoilers. But yeah, you did this, and okay, that's over and done with. You've done that, but now you go back, and they say, oh, hey, down the road, something else comes up that you have to go revisit that area again because of something else.
Yeah, totally. That would I could do something like that really fast.
Yep.
It's like, you know, making the areas, that's the long part.
Exactly.
And those areas take me, you know, usually 2 or 3 weeks just to detail them out.
Yep.
And
that doesn't
include all the scripting and writing and everything else that goes with it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the quintessential part here. You know, we definitely are going to be leveraging the instancing system to the maximum everywhere we can, especially when we're talking about epic challenge side quests. They're just more than, you know, and the other thing that Mort and me were talking about, too, is the fact that it's not just like an epic challenge. I mean, it's not like, okay, here's some mobs and, you know, you just go kill them. No, that's not what we do here at ROT. What we're going to do is there's a lot of stories that have been kind of, like, I would say there's probably a good 10 or so, like, plot lines that kind of didn't really have a follow-up. They just, you kind of left them where they were because that's where you left them off with. But there was more of the story. There's more to do. And that's where this type of stuff's going to come in. You know, so you did something maybe a year ago somewhere, and then you find out later part of the story talking to an NPC that, hey, you got to go back and take care of another problem that's cropped up in the same areas. You know, I mean, that's the kind of the story progression you could also you know, go through and set up for people to play through. So it's definitely something very, very, it's very good.
Right. Yeah, it's got me thinking.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that we've done recently, too, that a lot of players have noticed is that we've come up with the one script to rule them all, so to speak, for area management. So for runs that aren't instanced, because we can't instance everything because there's a lot of general purpose areas, like you have to travel from point A to point B. Well, there's all these areas in between, you know, for people who like to travel through and connective areas and stuff like that. It doesn't make sense to have that instance. So what we decided to do was come up with a script that actually manages the spawners in those areas to wait for people to actually come in the area before it kicks them on. And then it tears them down after so long if the area remains empty. And that's something that's really opened up resources on the server even beyond the area instancing. I'd say about 70% of the server's instanced right now, about another 10% needs to be, and the other 20% is all managed with the area management system. And what this allows us to do is also allows us to develop more content, because PW server runners know very well that areas are the biggest memory hogs on your server, nothing else. I mean, yeah, creatures have an impact, but it takes a whole lot more creatures to be spawned in at one time than it does an area, say a 24 by 24 area. That will definitely pack on the RAM on your server load. So cutting down as much unnecessary and unused resources as possible, whether it's spawner management, whether it's script management, local variable management, whatever. I'm not going to get into the list of them, but there's a lot of stuff that we've done over the last couple of weeks to really tighten up the ship, and we're running bare bones right now, so which is really good. And allows us to also add a lot more content and more new areas, so that we, because every set of areas we add, it's basically double because we have area instancing capabilities. And next thing is something that Mortis actually came up with the XP loyalty system. So, Mort, you want to give a little background behind that?
Brandon and I were sitting down one day and we were looking at numbers, and we decided that you know, we really need a way to get players to stay in the game, for us and for them. More for them than for us.
Yep.
And we were sitting around discussing brainstorming ideas, and we said, Brian was kind of like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, simply, just give them experience for being logged in over time, equating to the time that they've logged in. And Brian was like, we can do this. And I said, that'd be great. Let's do it. And it's taken some tolls. It's been something that Brian has had to do, all the scripting. And it's, you know, not been something that's necessarily set at a constant. It was implemented, and it is scaled up, and it is scaled down. It has been appropriately scaled, and it will continue to scale as the game changes. It has never been something that we said would be a constant. But players are rewarded in five minute intervals that are saved. So if you log in for 15 minutes today and 45 minutes tomorrow, you will get a reward for 1 hour of gameplay. And I think it's been awesome. We added it to the experience banking system, so that players could literally, if they chose, stay logged in all night long, sitting in their guild house while they sleep. And we're willing to give them experience for it.
I got a question, Mortis. How do you prevent farming, or do you even care?
We don't care.
Okay.
We are really, at this point, interested in a world dynamic of creating a world that draws a player population to create the most realistic world environment we can. I was honestly thinking about ways to emulate very popular online MMOs that do the exact same thing. Out of all the beta testing I've done, you know, I've discovered that the best way to keep players logged into a game is to give them some sort of efficient, real reward. And in a world like ours, where we have an epic releveling system that scales so that players are very, very encouraged to achieve very high amounts of experience and playtime, why not do something like allow a player to stay logged in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for a year, and if that player did nothing but just stay logged in, they didn't even have to play, they just sat in town and talked, they could have an ER4. That sounds good to me. If somebody's really willing to commit that much time to what Brian and I consider a love of a game, then, you know, I'm willing to give them what they want. Yep. And Brian is too. And I don't think it's unrealistic from a world development aspect. I mean, Baldur's Gate, you know, and all these other Big Worlds, Tales of Am, the really only competition that we have. These people all do the same thing. They just do it in a different fashion. We're not them. We're not a low magic world, except for CEXP, which is very unique. You know, we are a completely versatile freeform environment that encourages all aspects of play. It encourages the RPers. It encourages the grindhouse types. It encourages everybody who wants to play the game for the love of playing the game, simply, to play whatever they want, however they want, when they want, because they want, and reward them for it. Mostly just because I like logging in and seeing their faces. So, yeah, that's about it.
And on top of that, too, I mean, it also covers the people who role play in different ways. I mean, there's so many ways that when you think about role play, especially by checking out other role play servers and in really heavy RP worlds, people do all kind of stuff. You know, somebody will say, hey, tonight you got to guard this building. Okay, that's your job tonight, and then you have to guard this building. And they'll literally stand there and guard this building and get their XP for, you know, guarding the building. Well, when you're getting rewarded for your time, it covers that action, first of all. This is something that's easily scriptable, and you know, I'm not sure that I'd even want to get in to try to script, you know, these types of things that it would just be horrible to maintain. But also, it also allows people to do whatever they want to do in that time, whether, you know, maybe they are just hanging out there AFK for a while. But what we found out to be the case is a lot of times, even though people may be AFK a good bit of that time, if they're not, they wouldn't have been playing anyway, but they at least come back to their keyboard every once in a while and check, see what's going on, talk to some people they see a buddy on, and stuff like that. So at the very minimum, it's encouraging constant communication, which we're even seeing carry over to our Facebook page and our forum page on our website. Our forums have been burning up lately, and that's like something totally different. That's all started once we start implementing a system like this and other systems like this, which is our RP reward system for in-game chat. You know, this is something that me and the Witch King from the Rise of Sauron Unfinished Tales, you know, we had co-developed and designed together. And, you know, that process as well is very good because it rewards people even more experience points for actually staying in character and penalizes those that are, you know, who aren't staying in character, who are trying to role play. So that, you know, if you're an RPer and you set yourself to RP mode, you know, you're going to be getting extra experience points, and it strongly encourages actual in-character dialogue. You know, we have a full verbose text parsing system that runs on outside the game engine so that we could really do some a lot of crazy pattern matchings and all kind of stuff, which I won't get into totally because I don't want the details to totally be available to everybody for exploiters. But it certainly is a very versatile and real-time configurable system that allows people to gain experience points for RP. And it's directly applied to their character as they go on in every hour. So it's between the two systems, it's really really blew out a lot of people.
Yeah, I like the I don't like referring to it as an RP world. I like referring to it as a family world. Any world that's existed for over 2 years, any world at all, they have a thriving base that keeps them alive. We certainly have ours. Every world has their own. This allows those people who really have the time to commit, who have committed the time to develop what I would call a family base in a game, to be present, to be there. It's a place to go if you don't have anybody at home, or you do have somebody at home, or, you know, this is really what you enjoy doing. We want to reward you for your time.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, coming back to the family thing, I mean, you know, it's also nice to see that, you know, we have recently a bunch of new additions to the family. I mean, our last 2 weeks of our statistics, we've broke records, actually. You know, we're in the 120s now of players. You know, we reached 124 for the number of unique players that have played ROT in the last 14 days. So that's actually a new record. The highest we've ever recorded was 92, I think, and that was like 3 months ago or 4 months ago. Now we're all the way up to 120, and our online numbers have, you know, steadily stayed in the high teens and low to mid-20s a lot now. So we're really, you know, we're really taking care of business, so to speak, as far as being able to really bring in the players. And, you know, and it's not just one thing. You just can't point to one specific thing. You have to point to other things, you know, to look all the work that we've done on new content, bringing you in for Lincoln with your great works, and, you know, and also all this time and effort we're putting into improving the world, even old content, you know, rewriting it to be you know, totally professional and totally, you know, fun for everybody to play and understand what they're doing. So there's a lot of stuff like that we've been doing across the board. So it's really been really helping, and it's really bringing the players in.
I got a question for you, Brian.
Yeah.
If you get all these people logged in and stuff, you know, in the high teens or even higher numbers, if you're not worried about lag, I mean, doesn't it start to lag out after when you start getting, like, way too many people logged in at one time?
No, it does not. One of the biggest things that Brian and I are doing, well, I should say Brian's doing, this instancing system and all of the other things we're working on, which I will not disclose. I'll leave that to Brian if he so chooses. We're working on ways that no other world is doing, or they would have published it, or they're keeping quiet. We're working on ways to absolutely eliminate all precipitating factors, all world variable loads and unloads, every aspect of the game that we can limit to a controllable factor. We're getting rid of everything we can do. Brian and I are anticipating that within the month, we'll be able to maintain our world state live online, keep it online for greater than a week without ever experiencing a lag issue or a lack of server stability. And I will give like 99.9999 to the sixth power, you know, credit due to Brian there. It is a terrible amount of coding involved to make the world so efficient.
Very cool.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about between instancing, area management, and actually diving into the engine. I've been doing a lot of engine work to actually clear out AI variables on creatures before they get destroyed and stuff to really keep down the server resources as much as possible, because there's a lot of holes in an Neverwinter Nights 2 engine for high impact. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. And plus, there's always the best practices and stuff like that with heartbeat events and all kind of stuff like that. But when you're dealing with a persistent world that's been out for 5 years, you know, some of our earlier content wasn't efficient, you know, or at least it wasn't as efficient as it could be. So that's why we went back and really tightened the ship up and, you know, made it as tight as it possibly could be. And that's why we're seeing the performance that we have despite the size of our world. So that's really what it comes down to. We've always been solid, but to say that we were most efficient, I don't know about that. You know, we had some efficiency issues that, you know, would have been a problem had we gotten into the high 40s, 50 people on. It would definitely start becoming a problem, but that's why we're nipping them in the bud as we see our numbers getting to the point where it might start beginning to be a problem if we don't do something. So that's why I spent the last week or so to really get things finally done, because I had the technology available now that I developed. It allowed me to sit down and say, hey, you know, it's time to get crap moving, you know. No more sitting on the side, you know. We gotta get the house cleaned up. So
I mean, to give you a off, for instance, with the changes Brian has made in the past 3 weeks, I am able to host an event, what I would call liberal brutality. pretty much where I get 5 or 6 players who really think that they have their game face on, and I drag them to the hardest area in the game with the most potential world load dynamic variables options available there. So we'll say 210. I can drag 6 players on one of these maps. I can drop, without any exaggeration, 150 monsters on them, and the server just hums right along.
Really? That's impressive.
Yes, it's more than impressive. To say the fact that you can look at any world online right now, any world at all, and I bring the challenge. I dare them to post a screenshot to bring some feedback. Any world that can show me how many areas they have loaded and beat our performance number. Brian has done an amazing job. Once again, I will not disclose or discuss it because that's Brian's baby. But the amount of work he's put into making this happen has been unreal. If you'd like to discuss it offcast, that would be
we can go into the specifics beyond that, but yeah, it's definitely something that we're taking extremely serious, because we want to have, this is something Ben and me talked about numerous occasions about running events, being able to set things up, and you know, now with Morton and everything, we're really been sitting down and coming up with ways that we can improve the process so that the DMs have full control. Before we get into the class-based stuff and discussion with Ben and Michael, we definitely want to talk about the stuff that we've done for the DMs. We have a full DM admin tool that Mortis has been using heavily, and I'm going to get Ben here acclimated to very shortly. It allows the DMs to put the server into what we call event mode, and two mouse clicks. it's all outside the game. You know, this is all stuff done right directly on an RDP server, and And what it allows them to do is put it into basically turn off the instancing for the entire server, all the everything, so that every area in the game is available for an event, like a clean slate. So they can do whatever they want to do and wherever they want to do it. And the players get options to port directly to sets of areas so that the DM doesn't have to go ahead and, you know, drag everybody somewhere. And those features are definitely huge because it allows them to run events no matter where they want, when they want, and don't have to worry about screwing up a person's journal entry or story or whatever.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah, it's not too bad.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Ben,
yeah, the last time I was on there, I was amazed how efficiently everything ran and stuff, even though there would be a bunch of people running around. Because I know a couple of the other ones I played, even though they were Neverwinter Night 1, I didn't quite get that experience. And I know lag could be a real joy to.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we spent a lot of time to minimize the lag. You know, and not only that, to wipe it out totally, just by the way we programmed everything. So, you know, this is something Myrmidon's doing at Tales of Am. I will say that. That, you know, me, my discussions with him, you know, he's spending the time as well going from the ground up and writing scripts efficiently as possible right from the ground up. And I think that's one thing I take my hat off to him too, because that's hard to do when you're being pressured to get the content out, and, you know, especially when you're in a beta and you got a lot of players, you're trying to, you know, kick stuff out like we did when we first rolled out with ROT back in 2008. You know, we only had about a third of the, well, not even a third of the content, probably like an eighth of the content that we have now. And, you know, and then people are clamoring for more content because they loved what they've seen so far. So it was always a pressure. Okay, we got to get this done. So, you know, for years I was kicking out the rest of ROT1 and actually eventually did ROT2 and the Cormier Expanse, but I mean, they all take time, as you know, Lincoln. It takes a lot of time to build the areas from scratch and, you know, code everything and write it.
Oh yeah, that's a full time job.
Yep, it is. Well, next thing is the new epic feats and class upgrades. And turn this over to Mortis too.
Okay, so we've been talking about a lot of interesting aspects of the game, addressing specifically only a handful of classes currently, but there are many on the table to be discussed. And the only way to implement them is in a planned, in a business-style schedule, where you literally implement things in a staged, well-organized fashion, because, to be honest, working full-time jobs and playing a game, it doesn't work any other way. So we've been looking at dialoguing. I've been having players run the game in certain characters, certain character class types, doing everything I can to literally diagnose the problem. Why are certain classes underplayed? What makes them underplayed? And how can we fix it? So we've literally started, I just have a player log in and I say, hey, you want a free level 30? And they say, sure. And I say, great, I want you to build this. I want no deviation. I want a pure character. I want you to go as far as you can. And tell me when you can't go any farther. Just tell me. And I take all the data they give me along the way. They tell me that, oh, my fortitude save is awful. My this is awful. My that is awful. I could use more of this. And we take all this and we bring it back to a forum discussion or a running Skype dialogue, something that we can keep a record of. And we start introducing realistic, feasible changes that do not break server balance, while providing a grounds for classes that are underplayed thrive and survive. And keep in mind that this is all fluid. This is something that we would like to never have to take away, something that we'd only like to add to, but we're human, and yep. Certainly make mistakes. So we try our very, very best to keep the balance and make it thrive and make it work, which is something nobody else has even come close to doing in a high magic environment. So we've looked at all these classes. We've looked at all the feats they have. We've looked at the things that they could really use that don't make them work. And we've discussed, you know, hey, fighters could use more strength. It would free up their ability to progress their attributes on an epic re-level to go in this direction. Fighters could really use armor. They don't have armor. They could really use more armor as opposed to a class that doesn't necessarily need armor or is diversified enough so that armor really doesn't help it or it has too much armor. And, you know, we've started implementing feats based on the number of experience you have, the number of levels you have in a given class. And wish shards, if you pay any attention to ROT or play ROT, which is unique to ROT, you know, different ways to mitigate and control the play, to encourage player play, and reward players for playing and let them achieve something that they cannot achieve anywhere else, while continuing to increase class diversity, which is the biggest part, in my personal opinion, We don't have enough certain class types. Not to say that, you know, not having enough is a problem, because people play what they play, and I want them to play what they enjoy. But at the same time, I don't want a new guy who logs in and says, yeah, I want a Spirit Shaman. I don't want him to make a Spirit Shaman and feel that through progression of the game, Spirit Shamans just don't do the job. They're broken. I want him to log in and have a good time, you know? I want anybody who logs in to have a good time. That's my bottom line. If you're not having fun, it's not a game. So we've looked at many, many aspects. This is completely, as I said, fluid, dynamic. We're keeping forum posts running on it. We're keeping dialogue from players, longtime players, and new players alike. And we're implementing live changes as we see fit on a class-by-class basis. I know Brian is actually keeping a itinerary of the next class to be released, and if he wishes to discuss that further, I will freely let him. For the most part, I listen to players, I introduce ideas, and I try and log continued, you know, ideas. We've got several strings in the forum now running on it, just collecting data, any fashion I can get for data. That's kind of, I guess, where I'll leave that.
You're freaking mad scientist, man.
Well, you kind of got to be. I mean, especially the way we're approaching, and I think Ben can attest to this, is the fact that in the past, you end up running into the situations where you have, like, just the same munchkin-y builds, and that's pretty much it, or they can't be touched or whatever, you know? How many times you went off about that before in the past?
Yeah, know, and I think the other thing, too, is to the point we're trying to make here is we're trying to make it so everybody can have fun, and that includes the DMs being able to run events without going, oh no, I got one of these guys that can't be broken, and everybody else in the group is not going to be able to handle the stuff this guy is. The intent is to make it so we have a more balanced grouping and that people can have more fun by being able to play more classes. So yep. just to sort of reemphasize, you know, guys, we're trying to do what we think is going to make everybody happy and make it a better server. We're not trying to go, gee, we don't have enough pure fighter classes, ergo, we're going to make it so everybody can be a fighter.
Right, yeah. Right. And I think also at the time, too, I mean, obviously there's going to be some give and take. I mean, you know, we've already taken down some of the power levels, some of the stuff that it was, you know, we have enhanced and end up being, it was, you know, just totally cheeseballed, like UMD and items that we've made specifically for classes that were end up being cheesed onto other, you know, power builders, you know, taking you a bunch of UMD and just throwing it on them, even though it was really designed for a druid or stuff like that. We've rewrote UMD to, you know, take that into account and actually prevent people from equipping items unless they have at least 3 levels of its required class. So, I mean, there's and that is even subject to some other ideas that me and one of the co-founders of the server, Doug, had even talked about, is actually changing at the 10 levels and minus so many levels for how, like, every 10 points of your UMD. So it still takes into account UMD, but, you know, if you don't have UMD, you definitely ain't equipping it unless you're really dedicated to that class. So
that's an outstanding idea, if I may.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we're definitely going to move that system to. It's really easy for us to change, but I think right now we were more interested in seeing what kind of an effect it would have to change UMD not to be able to allow people to equip items that they otherwise shouldn't be able to equip. You know, we didn't want to get too crazy and slap a 10-level requirement right on top of it immediately. We wanted to kind of put the camel's nose under the tent there in 3 levels just to see how it affected things. And I think it's already affected things in a great way to really force people to, you know, not just go for the powerful item that's only meant for a druid and, you know, just to make their current class that much, or current character that much more broken, you know. So it's definitely already done a lot of significant improvements. So, but definitely down the road, we're going to probably update that to take into account UMD still, but it'll be a higher level count unless you have so many levels of UMD, and it'll be progressive.
Yeah, the only thing I want to add to that, though, is because I'm already hearing the commentary on the forums. Something we want to make sure everybody's aware of is some of the things that have occurred in the past with these abilities. They weren't planned. They weren't really something we could do something about at that point. So this is actually us going back and retroactively fixing it. So yes, in the past, your gnome may have been able to use something that's only for orcs. That was something that we're fixing, as opposed to something that we're going to say, well, haha, you can't do it anymore. Or alternately, well, we're going to leave you your one build to still be able to do that. This is something intended to make the game better, and again, make it so power building is still something fun as opposed to something that here's the ultimate build that can't be touched and can destroy anything in one hit.
Right.
But I just want to make it very clear to people, this is something that had we had the time, had we had the capability way back when, we would have done this way back when.
And, you know, now that we have these things in place, now we're going to, we're really going to utilize them. These systems in place, you know, we can, and plus it also, for people who are pen and paper fans and people who do enjoy Dungeons and Dragons, and I know we're talking about UMD, and this is about all I'm going to go on it, but, you know, for UMD was never meant the way it is in Neverwinter Nights 2. I mean, it was something that typically rogues had, and it was only for, you know, non-intricate magical items, and, you know, they would be able to use them and stuff like, you know, not necessarily equip some epic level, epic, unique, rare, legendary item that, you know, was only meant for druids. Or whatever class. I've used druids because that seems to be the biggest offending class we've made items for. But, you know, you take that into account, and then you take what really UMD really was meant to be, and what we're moving it towards, what we've actually done so far, is actually putting it back into the realm. Because now, if you do have a rogue, and UMD is one of its skill focuses, you could actually get, you know, equip items still that are outside your class, because you're going to be able to get a lot more UMD than somebody else. So, you know, there's going to be that taken into account. So it's actually getting more like the pen and paper instead of less like the pen and paper as it currently was. So that's pretty much all I have on that. You know, the last topic I wanted to get into tonight was the RP event lines. This is something I'm going to turn over to you, Ben, and talk about some of your ideas coming up for the Cormier and Expanse and whatnot.
Well, one of the things, obviously, is anybody who's poked around in Cormier is getting aware of, is there's many chances for side quest runs, many chances for good areas where, yes, we're giving tweaks to the spawner system, but where you're not out in the middle of a field where it would make no sense for a group to stand and talk for 20 minutes in hostile territory. So some of the things I'm looking at doing with these little, I'm going to call them mini events, where it's going to be an hour or two on occasion, depending on the group, maybe longer. But the idea is going to be that maybe it'll be we do a side quest, but it gets ramped up and there's a backstory that gets woven through it. Maybe you're going to be sent around Cormier in a similar pattern to the main quest, but with different aspects, different information. But the idea is going to be is that for the RP community, we want to service that need, and I'm going to try and do it through these smaller events so that people can start spinning their own stories. I'm actually going to put something on the RP forums and or people PMing me, depending on how detailed they want to get, for the capability to apply their own ideas. So if somebody has an RP event they want to do, I'm open to it. I'm open to being a DM who leads it. But obviously, the caveat to that I'm going to add up front is this is not going to be the life story of so-and-so. You know, it would be, gee, it'd be really neat if on the dragon side quest, we could maybe be escorted by an evil dragon who tries to make us choose differently. Or I know in the past, done things like hell runs where you find out that, you know, there's a whole another backstory to the lore that, you know, you would know about if you're super deep in pen and paper, but otherwise it's something fun to learn and go through with. Other thing too is things like doing guild runs that are open to everybody. So it may be that the DM event and the RP is based on the Guild of Black Lung lore or the Hospitaller lore or Lore Master's lore, but it's going to actually involve everybody in a way that it's a public cry and this is how we service it. So again, there's going to be a lot more RP. I'm definitely looking for feedback from the player community. The one thing I would like to add, though, to our international players, not cutting out, but the thing I would like to remind people is weeknights at 4 p.m. Eastern, not going to work on my end. So just keep that in mind that if you are, you know, playing overseas from the U.S., you know, there may have to be some give and take on time and days. But I am planning on ramping things up, planning on kicking it up a notch, though, and getting back into it. But, you know, I want to make sure that there's going to be players who want to do this. So if you want to be involved and you want more, and especially if you want to see something, I want people to either put it in the role-playing forums or send me a PM so it's something that we can make interactive, because I would like this to involve the player side more, because obviously that's where it's going to get good.
Yep, and there's also, And there's also the fact that we also have another DM who is coming back very shortly, is DM Thunderbolt. And he's had some life stuff. He was moving, and he's been away for a few weeks after we trained him, but he's definitely coming back. And Obru is going to be jumping in and helping out as well in these events. So it's good. This is going to be a unified front. So while Michael and me are going to be busting out new content, it's going to be an all fronts war here. We got Lincoln and me are going to be integrating his side quests. Michael and myself are going to be adding new content for new item drops, rather regularly. We're going to be overhauling the classes that we haven't overhauled yet, Bard being the first. And there's going to be a few other things of that nature to come. And we also have the content rollouts that are all going to be happening simultaneously. So we have a lot of fronts that we're really pushing ahead on, and we're really going to be, really working hard to really advance the server and everything like that. So, right.
And the one thing I know I touched on with the RP, but we have a great player base who's willing to tell us things, but we definitely want you guys, at risk of sounding like a cheesy PBS thing, we can only do it with you guys. So make sure that if you guys have something, comment, complaint, concern, you let us know. We may not give you the answer you want, but we're definitely going to be open to dialogue. So definitely let us know. And I'd just like to go on record to talk.
So I think, closing out, I think we've beat the horse here, but I just want to, closing out, I want to say that for the ROT listeners that we did this podcast for you, and so that you actually hear us talking about all the changes we've been writing about, and you've been giving us all your feedback about on the forums. We want to tell you that we greatly appreciate it, and that this service for you. I mean, this is certainly nothing. This isn't a pride fest or anything like that. That we want to. This game is for you, and this, we don't make money off this project, and that's not the goal here. The goal is to really put out a immense story based immersive environment that allows you to have fun and play the way you want to. I think that one of our biggest features over the 5 years that we've been live, and I think that, moving forward, I don't think we've ever had a unified front like this, like that we have now, all the way across the board, from the technical architectural changes that have been made, the ridiculous content that's been added regularly, especially over the last 4 or 5 months with the Cormorian Expanse campaign, Lincoln side quest, and then the prologue extension that we talked about at the beginning of the episode. I think if you start looking at all that stuff and you start looking at, listening to all the feedback that we're getting on our forums, which have been on fire, and I can't say to you, the player, enough how awesome that is to be able to get on there and get your feedback directly so that we can actually help tailor content and take everybody's thoughts processes. Believe it or not, even though the adage is you can't please everybody, the fact of the matter is it's not the goal to please everybody, but it's certainly the goal to hear the common the threads amongst the players and saying to yourself, hey, maybe I didn't do this the best that it could have been done at the time, or maybe I didn't develop this enough, because I was worried about building something else. Well, now that we're at a place where we can, kind of tackle all these build issues or, server balance type stuff, we really, really went outside the box. And if you take a look at all the new features that have been added even since, we even talk about in this episode, it would take 2 hours to talk about half, but scalable difficulty that you can pick, you name, whatever it is. It's really, really made the game totally accessible by a lot of people, no matter how adept you are playing Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2, and or how much you're into computer gaming or whatever. I mean, you can come in and just as long as you learn the interface, you can pretty much kind of figure it out as long as you played the original campaign. That was the goal. So, to everybody who's played ROT, everybody who's sitting on the fence saying, hey, maybe I don't want to check this out, hey, come on in. As one of the previous podcast hosts has said before, what do you got to lose except for a little bit of time? I think that, come on in, check us out. Been around a long time. We're not idiots, when it comes to, we don't treat people like, we treat them totally with respect, and we enjoy having you on, and you're going to be the king. You come on the server, you check it out, you join the group, you're automatically in. There's no favoritism, there's no cheese like that. I mean, you're in. You become the family member, if you so choose. And that's the way we run the server. And anybody who's listened to this, or they'll agree. I mean, I treat the person that's been on for 20 minutes just like they've been on for 5 years. It don't matter. to me, you're a player, and if you're coming in to spend your time to auto download the content and checking it out, you know, I can't. There's no better gift in the world than that. So to be able to share what we've been able to create as a group, and you know, what started off as a small persistent world 5 years ago now has exploded into this massive MMO style RPG game that never expected to do, and that's the way you got to do it. Anybody else? You got any final thoughts before we close up?
No, the only thing I'd like to add to that, as Brian said, is, you know, we treat everybody equally, so feel free, give it a try, let us know, we'll go from there.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. We are lacking a player-driven initiative, players who actually want to get involved in the process to lead. We have a lot of players who step up to the plate, and few and far between actually stay on plate and actually want to be an aggressive part of this server. If you think ROT is something you like and you think you can honestly stick with it, we want you. We just need you to actually stick with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. The other thing too, though, is as he's saying with player initiative, whatever you can do, however you can do it, definitely let us know. Hey, I want to pitch in by doing that. You know, we're definitely not going to go, oh, this guy wants to help, screw him. You know, so definitely, if there's something you want to do, you know, share the love, let us know.
Like I said, you know, we're putting a lot of time on the line here. You know, I work on this, on the project every night. Mort's working on it every night. You know, Ben has spent countless nights building a lot of the Cormyr stuff, story, and built major documents before we even started development. Lincoln spent countless nights, months, working on side quests. You know, I mean, we're all putting a lot of a personal time in, so.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to mention, I do got something. If there's a particular type of side quest that somebody would like to see me build, I'm always open for suggestions. I can't always promise you I can build it, because, you know, it might too realm out of my possibility, but, yeah, I'm always open for suggestions.
Hey, Lincoln, if I may, I've baited your areas. I have to say your content is outstanding. Oh, I don't think that me providing you with feedback, I think, would might ruin your creativity. I really like what you do, and I want you to keep doing it.
I could do that.
The same here. I mean, we've done what we've done for years. It's nice to have a fresh perspective, and that's one thing that I think, like we talked about before, and I'm glad it's like there's a lot of times, you know, we talk to people, and you know, it's just talk. But, you know, when we worked with you and I worked with the Witch King before, you know, we actually made it happen, and it's benefited everybody in the community. So, you know, that's what's nice about it. And I've gotten help from Myrmidon from Tales of Am on some stuff, and he's really been open and helpful. A couple times I had some really tough questions for him, and he, you know, he stuck with it and gave me some answers. So, I mean, the community aspect is really nice to see, you know, even when, you know, maybe limited at times because of people being busy and whatnot, or other servers, you know, depending on their, have more of a, I don't know, more of like a, competitive aspect, like where they think that we're all fighting each other or something, which isn't true at all. We're trying to steal content from different people, which there's been some issues with Cadran's content lately, and so I mean, there's been it's a shame, but at the same time, you know, at least we're open and more than willing to help other people, and well, as we have done. So I mean, it's just good for the community all the way around. Well,
yeah, totally.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you the closing line there, Ben.
Get in game and level up.
All right.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.